Good morning. Last Sunday, we began our Lenten journey with a story of Jesus' 40-day journey into the wilderness. On this second Sunday in the season of Lent, we turn to one of the earliest stories of a faith journey, the journey of Abram and Sarai. As we consider our own faith journey throughout this Lenten season, we do so as we ponder this incredible journey of faith and trust. The reading begins. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem to the Oak of Morah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. I don't want to go. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent with children around, you may have heard words of protest like that when they are faced with a big journey ahead of them. You have a spouse or a traveling companion that doesn't like to take long trips. You might have heard similar words, or inside your heart, you might have heard those kind of words if you were really honest with yourself as well. Truth be told, we don't like taking long journeys, do we? We are afraid of the unknown. We are afraid of the uncertainties that lie ahead. We look at the long journey ahead and we wonder if our old car will make it. We wonder if there will be a Starbucks at the next rest stop. We wonder if there will be a bathroom when we need it. And we just are very concerned about these journeys that lie ahead. Truth be told, we don't like taking long journeys, do we? This passage in Genesis 12 that David read for us takes us into some very familiar territory. It's familiar on the one hand because we've heard this passage time and time again. And it's familiar on the other hand because it speaks to the uncertainties that we are so very familiar about taking long journeys in our lives. I got to wondering as I was looking at this passage this week, I wonder if Abraham was also afraid. I wonder if he had some uncertainties in his heart as well when he was called to take this long journey. The Bible doesn't really record them, does it? But I wonder if they were there. You know how those biblical archaeologists, they come up and they find these lost scrolls from time to time? I wonder if there was a lost scroll that could have been there recording Abraham and Sarai's concerns and fears about this journey to travel into this strange land that they were called to take. Truth be told, I think Abraham was afraid. I think Abraham was concerned being called to journey into the unknown, being called to leave it all behind, pack up the tents and go, pack it up and sojourn toward this land of mystery. Oh, I think that rattled Abraham and Sarai to the very core. Abraham and Sarai are biblical heroes for the monotheistic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They are all biblical heroes. We don't really think of them in that light, but I think if we were truly, truly honest, I suspect they were very, very afraid. Probably an inner voice, perhaps, that Abraham heard, well, that call wasn't really for me. Maybe he wanted to look the other way. I think that Abraham considered not taking this journey. This passage in the 12th chapter of Genesis comes at a very pivotal place in the story of the Hebrew people. Reading a commentary from the professor of Old Testament in Princeton Seminary, Janet Lapsley, and she said that this passage in the 12th chapter defines what it means to be God's chosen people. She kind of reviews and suggests that we kind of take a look back the previous 11 chapters and the Bible opens and we begin with the scriptures of the creation stories, those two stories of creation. And for a brief window, creation, humankind live in beautiful play, in joy, in peace, in happiness with God. There is that time of garden moments when God and creation live in pure harmony, but things immediately seem to go awry. Humanity begins to toy with God's words, start to play with what's allowed and what's not. They steal forbidden fruits, and human mischief, well, it rises to epic proportions, doesn't it? We get an insight into God's grief, God's repentance over the creation that has been fashioned. God's response is about curse. God's response is curse, and everything is to be wiped away. But we also learn that God cannot give up on creation that God so dearly loves. There is hope. There is hope in that one family will be saved. Through that one family, creation will rebuild, and there is painted in the skies that beautiful rainbow. And with that rainbow is a reminder of God's promise that never again will that type of curse ever be offered upon the earth. And she argues that there is kind of a shift in this from curse towards the blessing we see in Genesis 12 in Abraham and Sarai's story. And as we begin to live into this new beginning, we start to wonder, we ponder, what will life be like? And then the Babel generation later in the Genesis story comes into the story. They begin to play God, and we wonder, what will God do after the rainbow? Genesis 12 is that answer. That answer to what God will do, that answer to what it means to be God's chosen people, God will offer blessing. God will offer blessing as a new beginning, as a new way forward, and God will choose to redeem creation, to redeem all of humankind throughout the rest of the biblical narrative. Genesis 12, this story we examine this morning, is the answer to what it means to be God's chosen people. Be God's chosen people is to know that we are indeed richly and deeply blessed through our heritage, through our lineage to Abraham and Sarai. And there's a purpose to being blessed. It doesn't just end there. There's a purpose of our blessedness, and the purpose of our blessedness is that we are called to be a blessing to others. God's words to Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing to others. But we find, as we listen to the story, we find that the only way that Abraham can be a blessing to others, the only way he can do that, is to leave the comforts of his home, to leave the comforts of his country, and to move in new ways so that he might be a blessing and to go on that incredible journey. God says to Abraham, go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, if we were Hebrew-speaking congregation, we would not at all be surprised at this coming. We wouldn't be surprised at the arrival of this call to move into foreign territory, because Abraham comes from Haran. And the meaning of Haran in English is crossroads, highway. What Abraham was all about was moving into new lands. He was only just there for just a brief period of time. And all Abraham needed, all he needed was God's nudging, God's prodding, God's calling to move into his next phase, that he might be a blessing to others. It's interesting, all the texts this week, all the texts in Lent 2, all have a dynamic element to them. A dynamic element or a journey element about change and new birth and new growth. If we were to do the gospel lection this morning, it's John 3, the story of Nicodemus and Jesus, that dialogue about being born again. And isn't the entire season of Lent about journey, about growth, about new beginnings? I know so many of you have given things up for Lent to make place for God in your lives, or taken things on, spiritual practices, so that you might grow and journey into a closer relationship with God. In many ways, as I'm presenting this concept about journeying, going to foreign unknown places, moving into kind of these challenging journeys, in many ways, I use the old term, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, aren't I? Because you here at Northwood, for us, that's kind of what we do. I think churches like Northwood have gone through so many changes that this is kind of a normal thing. Our very identity is about going into the unknown, doing challenging new things and growing in new ways. Isn't that the truth? 25 or 30 years ago, and many of you were here then, think back then. Imagine, remember those conversations that began? There were two churches back then, North Surrey United Church and Fleetwood United Church. What would have happened, I wonder? What would have happened if those two congregations back then didn't begin conversations about how they might move forward on a journey together? Well, that led, of course, into 1998, this building and this new formation of Northwood United Church. But if that didn't happen, well, what might have happened is small churches today, they generally wither up and they die. Church Darwinism is kind of a term that I think that really is speaking to the challenge of churches today. So critical for our churches to journey into the unknown, to be in conversation, for us to be moving ahead in terms of ways that we might serve the communities better and more effectively and work in good ways in the future. We didn't move ahead in that cooperative direction and create this church that is so vital and healthy and effective as a congregation in its community. If we didn't do that, I would suspect we'd be standing right in the middle of a Costco right now. Superstore. There we go. Well, last Sunday was our AGM, as we talked about earlier in the service. And at our annual meeting, as we blessed our new board and covenanted with our new board, last Sunday was a new time of leadership. It always is. It's a time when we, some members, we give thanks, and we bless our new board as some outgoing members, and it's a time we give thanks when new members are coming in. And I always think of this moment as being a calling of Abraham moment for a congregation as we move ahead into a new year, because our leadership is all structured now and ready to go. We have a great, to be sure, a great new board. We've been blessed over many years with some excellent leadership. Excellent leadership, people with vision and passion and commitment to this church, and that continues to be the case here at Northwood. I'm so excited with those folks that have continued on and those folks that have become new members of our board. We are very deeply blessed here at Northwood. To be sure, there are some significant gaps. We have some areas that still need to be addressed. It's concerning that we do not yet have a board chair, do not yet have a treasurer. But to be sure, the board that we do have is excellent, and I know the people that we have will be faithful and diligent in their service, and we will work into the future in very, very effective ways. Last year, you did a lot of work in terms of your staffing configuration with your MPS work. Last year, you made a big decision. You moved from 2 full-time ministers down to 1 minister and a half-time minister. The full-time minister, myself, in a coordinating ministry capacity, and Carrie moving from full-time, changing that to a half-time capacity as minister of Christian development. Now is the time of stability for this church. We have stabilized our ministry structure. We have an excellent new board that is moving ahead. And I would suggest that now is the time for us to dream big as a congregation. Now is the time for us to dig deep as a congregation. Now is the time for us to move ahead in exciting new ways and to really take hold of those areas of passion and the gifts that you have for your church. In my opinion, now is the time for us to reopen the conversation about this building and about the roof. I know in the past it was a very wise decision to place a temporary tarp over the roof. That was a time of tremendous change, tremendous transition, and that made so much sense at the time to do that, to kind of fill that gap and to allow to focus kind of a little more internally. Now is a time of stability. Now is a time that we can look into the future and see where God is calling us to go. It's a time to journey forward and to take seriously God's words to Abraham and to you and I. Go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Now, if you find yourself sitting in your chair and feeling a little scared, saying, I don't want to go, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, that's okay. Because I think that's exactly how Abraham felt when he heard God's call to go into foreign territory as well. Remember God's promise to Abraham that came after the call to go. God's promise was, I will bless you. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So as we move into this time of call to journey forward into the future. As we move into this time, may we go forth fearfully, indeed, but faithfully. May we go forth with uncertainties, indeed, but always guided by God's hand. May we go forth as the congregation of Northwood that yearns to be a blessing to its community. Now, and into the future. I'd like to close with a poem that is written by Mary Oliver. It's called Wild Geese, and I think it offers some words of hope and depth as we consider this call for change. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Amen.